Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just want you in our lives, oh God. Lord, that's all we want. That's all we desire, is to know you, to be fully satisfied by your Spirit and your love working and moving in each of our lives. Lord, make this the very reality in each one of us. Lord, we just thank you for all the deliverances. We thank you for this move of God. We thank you that you've called us, that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you've filled us with your Spirit. You've put a hope within us. There's a calling that you've given to us. We're going to have that realized in each of our lives. Precious Jesus. Lord, we ask you now to anoint your word. Lord, I ask that you would give me clarity of speech, that you'd give me an unction, that you'd anoint me, that your word would come forth and minister to every single heart tonight in a very special and particular way. Lord, just have your way now. Have your precious way. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message tonight, and it might be more apt to entitle it, Get Him and Keep Him, based on that marvelous song our brother just sang. But I've titled it, Get It and Keep It. Get It and Keep It. God wants you free. God wants you free. And He wants you to stay free. He doesn't want you just to get free and then go back into bondage. He doesn't want that. At all costs, we must be delivered. We've got to be delivered. And then we've got to walk in our deliverances. We cannot afford to get free and then lose what Jesus has done for us. We cannot afford that. Once free, we must learn to walk as God really has planned. God's plan for us to be able to walk a certain way. We haven't been able to do that, but God is now making the way so that we can. God wants us to have a true life in the Spirit, led of the Spirit and fed of the Spirit. That's what God wants. He longs for that in each one of our lives. He wants that far more in us than we wanted ourselves. Now, the first thing that I'm going to talk about is getting your deliverance. And I just want to share some things from my heart. I feel that there's some things that are essential. And I'm talking to a lot of different people in my classes, and people are approaching me, and they're asking a lot of questions. And it shows me that there's still quite a bit of uncertainty as to what we need to do to get delivered. And I'd like to share what I feel are some key, essential, primary points. And this does not exhaust everything that's involved, but I think that these are things that can help many of you that are still looking for your deliverances, or you've maybe gained part of your deliverance and you still feel that there's more. I think this is very important. The number one thing, and this is so simple, but the number one thing, and I'll give some explanation, is that we must really come to Jesus. We've got to really come to Jesus. In other words, we must really open up before God. We have got to take down these facades. We've got to take down all of our ministerial badges, all of our good works medals. We've got to take these things down and begin to let God show us what's really there and what really needs to be done. Each one of us must be waiting on God. We've got to be waiting on God. We have got to be calling out to Jesus in this hour in a very definite, specific, there must be protracted time spent, or we're not going to really get the full deliverances that God wants. We must be calling upon the Lord to really, really search us. These must be honest prayers. We must really be saying, Lord, search me and expose and show me if there be any wicked way, If there's any demonic activity, Lord, show me. If there are, and see, it almost goes without saying that all of us have demonic activity in us. And we have got to have these things exposed. We must bare our hearts before God. Just completely open your heart. Completely open up. Bring everything up and above board. And just begin to lay out your life before God. Don't let that fear rob you. Don't let lies of embarrassment rob you. Just open up to Jesus. Just come before Him. He's going to take care of the fear. He's going to take care of the feelings of embarrassment. He's going to build your strength and your will. He's going to give you faith. He'll do what's needed, but we've got to come before Him. We've got to begin to acknowledge that we have got to get delivered. There is not one person here that is absolutely in the place that they should be in God. It means we have a long ways to go. There's things that have held all of us back. There is no exception. There's no exception. And it's pretty obvious that there wouldn't be just based on the world that we've been brought up in. No matter who our parents have been, no matter what age or generation we were raised in, the devil has been active all this time. He has really been active. He is a master strategist. He has a design really beyond our comprehension. And unless God is able to really expose it and uproot it, that enemy is going to win. And I am really concerned for some of you because you're going to lose. And my heart is just... it is heavy with a real concern of love for your soul. And I know of some of you. People have come to me and expressed concern for some individuals. And I know of some just by seeing what they're doing day by day. And maybe part of it is that there's such a severe demonic pressure upon you that you really can't even bring yourself to pray. You've got to dial or push the buttons or whatever and call somebody up to help you. And some of you need to go to those people, whether they want you to show up on their doorstep or not, and say, "Brother, I'm here to pray for you. Brother, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to tell you what God is doing." We need to all take this as our responsibility. We need to let the love of God well up in us so that we are so constrained, we cannot help but reach out to people. I was talking to Lanny today, and I appreciate Lanny. Oh, I appreciate that brother. I love him so dearly. And I mentioned one brother that was having a little problem, and the brother had said, "Well, I think I might go talk to Lanny." But, well, I didn't really trust that he'd go talk to Lanny, so I gave Lanny his name so he'd go talk to him. And then Lanny told me what God has been putting on his heart to do. He knows of all sorts of people, just like a lot of us do, that are no longer here at Community Chapel. That they've just been robbed by the devil in their life. Not talking about dissidents or people fighting us, but people that the devil has just worked in and they're backslidden. And their hearts have grown cold. And he said, "I'm going through the Seattle phone book, finding those names and calling them up. Telling them what God is doing. Telling them that their hour of deliverance is here. Come on in. Come on in and get free." Now, I said, "That's marvelous." See? Stepping out, there might be a certain fear, a little, well, what are they going to say? Who cares what they say? God wants them free. God wants them free. God wants them in the body that He called them to. That's what God wants. And some of you are here tonight. It's like we need to call you up on the phone. Say, "Brother, don't you see what's going on? Don't you know that this is your hour of deliverance? Don't you know that God wants to do something deep and significant?" I am so thrilled for what God has done. But I cannot help but have my heart concerned for those that they're being deceived. They're being robbed. And that's really the main group that I just feel that this message is directed toward, although I'm sure it's going to apply to many others. We must allow the enemy to be exposed. We have got to have the enemy exposed, and it may be painful in some cases. It may be painful to have to admit something or to really face a certain thing. It might be very painful, but we've got to get that enemy exposed. We have things that we have suppressed for an awful long time, And we don't want to go back and face them. And that's understandable. But I'll tell you who's really working to keep you from going back and facing those things. It's those spirits themselves. We've got to go back and look at them. And God's going to help us. And he knows how to expose these things. Step by step by step. A number of people have come to me and said, well, what do I need to be doing? I said, you need to bring your total life before God and just set it there. You need to look at it from A to Z. You need to begin to look at every facet of your life and say, Lord, is there a demon there? Has the devil worked here? Some people write, oh, now we're going to be just demon conscious. No, we're finally becoming demon aware. We're finally becoming aware of who has been choking us off and robbing us of life. That's what we're finally coming to understand. And the enemy is upset. He is upset. And that's why he's coming to many of you with such strong feelings of skepticism, such strong feelings of doubt, and many other things. Strong feelings just to get you to bolt and run out the door. Don't bolt. You're going to bolt anywhere. Bolt right down. Bolt yourself to this altar. Just, we'll have the deacon board requisition some rings down here to tie into the wall, and you come down with some handcuffs, and we'll handcuff you right here until God sets you free. That's what we'll do. We want you free. That's what we want. I want to be free. I want you to be free. I want us to go on in God. We need to bring everything. We need to look at every facet of our life. We need to go back and look at things. And look at what was it like in our home. What kind of a home did we have? And begin to ask, was there insecurity? Was there rejection? Ask questions about what kind of hurts we've gone through. This is not, you know, I'm not trying to get us back and you know, you're having to go back and look at some things that, yes, they're under the blood of Christ, but we've got to begin to see how those sins were committed. What led to us being in that situation? What was pressuring us? We really need to look at these things in a right, proper way. People need to look at what's going on in their marriage. What kind of marriage do you really have? Is there hate toward your husband? Is there rebellion? And really begin to address it. These things must be addressed. How are you doing in your dorm? What are your attitudes toward your dorm leader? What are your attitudes toward your dorm mate? These things need to be looked at. They really do. How are you doing on your job? What kind of fear seize you as you're about to witness? What sort of areas have you compromised in? And begin to realize that's not your heart. You want everybody to be saved. You want to witness those people. But what things have robbed you, stifled you, hindered you? What kind of fears do you really have? What about areas of failing? So that now maybe there's a spirit there where there's a fear of failing. So that you won't step out for fear of failing. There are spirits working in these areas. There really are. It is absolutely incredible the way these spirits have deceived us, have fooled us, have made us to think that all these things are just a part of life and always have to stay with us. They're not a part of life, and they don't have to stay with us. We need to address lust. We need to address those sexual areas because the devil has worked so hard with all sorts of homosexuality, sexual perversions. Those things have to be addressed. I know many of them are embarrassing. That seems to be one of the hardest things for people to deal with. But that is no different than a spirit of rebellion. It's no different than a spirit of anger. It's no different than a spirit of self-hate. It's the devil in every case. And we've got to see now, have there been things in me toward things like that? And then start to come against it. This is really how to do it. A basic kind of program, system, strategy. Not that it has to be done just in the same way every single time, but it's really facing these things in our lives. That's what we must do. We must really look at our attitude toward authority. We've got to really look at this. The wives, I know, we talk about this so much. We have to talk about it so much because it's a major strategy of the devil. But I'll tell you another major strategy. And that's you here that have not really committed your heart to your pastor, to your church government. That attitude that you have about authority, the authority the pastor holds as delegated from God, that attitude you have is demonic. That mistrust is demonic. That criticalness is a demonic thing. Yes, there can be a certain human element as well. Well, let's get rid of the human element and let's get rid of the demonic element. Don't just say, well, I think this is probably me. No, I think it's probably the enemy is what it probably is. And once you get rid of him, then you'll finally see what door you open and that can be better dealt with. We need to look at past involvement in cults. We need to look at, were we in the occult? Were we in Eastern religions? Were we in witchcraft? Drugs, alcohol, tobacco, those kind of things. They need to be looked at because there's spirits working in those things. One lady was prayed for and she had a spirit of Mormonism. There's a spirit. I don't know if that's really the name it actually goes by, but that's how it responded. And it was a thing dealing with that self-righteousness of works. And when they were able to put their finger upon that, oh, did that demon react. But she has now a marvelous deliverance, and she can finally see the real power and the real efficacious nature of the blood of Christ. She could never see that before. She could never appreciate that before. See, these spirits have worked and worked and worked and worked in every single area and avenue of life. And there's just no way that we've escaped their working. There's no way they just ignored you. They came through the TV. They came through the radio. They came through rock and roll. They came through all sorts of immorality, rebellion. They came through your teachers. They came through your fellow students. All sorts of doors were open and demonic spirits have come in. Now, to what degree in every single person's life? That's where we need to stand before God and say, Lord, search me. There are many areas that we have really accepted as us. We really accept this is me. Or as normal, and it's not us, and it's not normal. We must look for the root. Ask God to expose the enemy so that we can really deal with him, so we can give him a punch right in the nose, so we can let him have it with grenades, bazookas, machine guns, and the power of God. That's the best thing to use. The others just make a lot of noise. Some people are always sleeping. They come under a heavy sleepiness. It's not normal. It's not natural. They're getting enough sleep. They have no physical problems. There's a demonic spirit. There's some people that are sleepy but can't sleep. I think there's a demonic spirit there. Everybody buys all these, they've kept Nitol and all these other companies in business trying to get sleep by using pills. And it works, in a sense, somehow. I don't know what it does to the body and all of that. But in a lot of these cases, it's not a physical thing. Now, there may be a certain physical problem where this thing's able to work or somehow has been able to come in, but it's still a demonic thing. Now, see, we start talking about all this, and then in some of your minds, I'll tell you exactly what happens. You begin, oh, that's absurd. Oh, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. I'll tell you who's speaking to your mind. They're exactly who's speaking to your mind. There are demon spirits. There are demon spirits by the thousands at Community Chapel. They don't like the church services, but they go through them trying to distract your mind. They do. They're here. I mean, we don't see them with our natural vision, but they're here. And there are angelic spirits here as well. And the presence of God. And we're in a battle. And we're going to finally find out who this enemy is and what he's doing and how he's robbed us. This is so important. I'm looking at every area of my life. I'm bringing my whole life, kit and caboodle. I need about 15 U-Haul vans. I bring them to the altar and begin to go through it and say, now, Lord, what's happened here? What's come in? What needs to be dealt with? What's got to go? Show me. Help me. I got to be free. God is doing something with that kind of an attitude. He's doing something as we take that kind of a step. But if we start poo-pooing these demons, they just get a stronger hold. I'll guarantee they get a stronger hold. Some people are sick, but the doctor cannot find a thing wrong with them. There's a spirit of infirmity. There is a spirit of sickness. Now, I don't know all the things that are involved. I don't think anybody does. But if there's nothing natural, nothing physical, no explanation, I've got an explanation. Demonic spirits. People say there's no explanation for UFOs. I've got a very good explanation, and I know it's 100% correct. It's 99% demonic and 1% wild imagination. That's pretty much what it is. That's the explanation. And all these people that write all these books and deal with all these things, they, oh, there's no solution, there's no answer, no explanation. Yes, there is. Demon spirits. Lying, twisted, foul, diabolical demon spirits. That's what it is. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. It's not really that complicated once we finally see the enemy for who he is. He is a master strategist. Some people can't stop procrastinating. They really can't make a decision. It's almost like there's a demon of tomorrow. And all he says is, do it tomorrow, do it tomorrow, do it tomorrow. And we've listened to that liar for so long, that's the way we live our lives. You can't get to the altar because he says tomorrow. And we keep saying, yes, master. And really, this happens. This is happening to people. And they're being robbed. Demonic spirit. Those thoughts, they're not you. That's not your mind. That's not your thinking process. That's not your heart. That's not your desire. That is the enemy. We're just beginning to see how the enemy has worked. We've only been involved in this for about 2 weeks here in Seattle. Keith got a head start on us, but we don't know that much about it. We're just starting to see this enemy. He's just starting to be exposed. Suddenly we're seeing things in our marriage, and that's not our wife, that's not our husband, that's not our child, that's not this person. That is a demonic spirit. We're starting to see things in the unsaved that we just kind of used to look at in kind of a distasteful way, and now we know exactly who it is. Our heart is changing toward people. We're starting to see who is the person and who is the real force that has twisted them and put them in this horrible state of life. Now we're starting to see. Our eyes are being opened up. And some of you, you've got to have your eyes opened up. You have got to see this, or else you will lose out. And I don't want you to lose out. Don't leave any rock unturned. Go through every single area of your life. Look in every nook, every cranny, every attic, every cellar, every closet, under every rock. Look under every rug that's piled high with all sorts of garbage under it. Start finding out what's really under that rug. Start finding out what's really in that corner of your life. Look at your life carefully, thoughtfully, thoroughly, and prayerfully. Look at your life. Really look at it. Say, Lord, search me. Know me. Expose the devil where he has robbed me. Where I think it's me, show me that it's not me. Prove this to me. Open my eyes. Let me see what's really going on. We need to pray that way. We need to really pray that way. We've got to really come before God and seek him that he'd open our eyes, that we'd really know what's going on here. See, we've got to start approaching these things on a demonic level. That's where these things are. We have always been approaching these things primarily on just a human level. And we've had good theology, we've had good teaching, but we never really understood the enemy. Some say, well, I've looked and I just don't see anything. I just can't see that the devil's worked. Brother, sister, look again. And look again. Look and look and look. And it's not going to take too long. And you're going to see all sorts of things. You're going to see pride. You're going to see rebellion. You're going to see criticalness. You're going to see anger. You're going to see impatience. You're going to see frustration. It's not going to take too long if we'd start to really look and just say, Lord, I don't care what's in here. It's just got to go. I don't care who knows it's been in here. Only thing that matters to me is that I'm able to really love you, really serve you. I've got to be the bride. I've got to be the man child. I've got to really be one that's endued with power and knows your word and has the abundant life. And I'm not going to settle for anything less than that. That needs to be the attitude. That's having our will built up by God to a point of strength and determination where when an enemy is exposed, that thing's going to go. We're not going to tolerate him. But see, we've got to get built up. We've got to be shown who the enemy really is. A lot of us are just flailing at the air. Paul found out who the enemy was. And then he took the right calculations, and he knew the right measurements, as it were, and he got right within right distance, and then he let the enemy have it. He battled the right things with the right methods. He knew what he was dealing with for so long. For so long, and that's for every single one of us, we didn't know what we were really dealing with. Now, in some areas, yes, but in the majority of areas, we did not really know what we were dealing with. I mean, we really didn't. We did, but we didn't. And it's the fact that we didn't that causes the difficulty. We must open up to this move of God, or else your deliverance will pass by. And if it passes you by, you'll lose out with God. Now, you may not lose your soul, but you are going to lose out to some degree, to some measure with God. It's really the truth. It's really the truth. Don't allow spirits of skepticism, unbelief, and criticalness rob you. Don't allow it. God is doing new things. God is doing new things. This is a new thing. Not new that it's never been done before. But it's new to us. Now, see, who do we think we are that we can judge all these things? I mean, who do we really think we are that we can sit back and judge? How far have we really gone down this pathway? How much do we really know? How much have we really experienced in God? We're novices. So those that are set over us for our safety, we've got to really look to them and really trust them and really believe God that He's going to work through them like He's promised. Because we're not going to make this as little isolated islands all over, being our own pastors, our own elders, and our own little church. We're not going to make it that way. We've got to really see that we don't have the ability in ourselves to pass the proper judgments. We can discern these spirits just using our own mind. Oh, we can guess, and we can suspicion, and all of that, but that's not knowing. That's not really knowing and understanding. This is not a fad. We're not dealing with a fad. We are dealing with God working, and it's absolutely essential. You say, well, I'm going to just sit in the back, and this thing will pass by. Yeah, it'll pass by. The move of God will pass you by. And you won't have any heart with this move of God anymore. And just out of your own heart, you'll just have to leave. It won't be that God has to move you out the door. It won't be that we would have to put you out of the church as the eldership. You just won't come back. Now that's a tragic thing. That is a tragic thing. That's a tragedy that never has to happen to anyone here. It doesn't happen to happen to any one of you. Another key is that we must begin to seek God and allow Him to build our faith and to strengthen our will. We must, really, I know I'm repeating certain things, and that's because they're so important. We must allow Him to show us where the real battle must take place, and it's in the spiritual realm. That's where the real battle is taking place, and we've got to see that. It's got to be shown to us. We've got to understand that. It does not mean that we understand that every aspect of it or everything that's involved in it, but we've got to know that it's a battle in the spiritual realm. And the one seventh grade girl that shared how it was in her will, and she knew that a major part of the deliverance would be determined by her will, that is the truth. That is the absolute truth that hits the nail right on the head. This is not something where you just come and say, I need deliverance, put your hands on me, and we get magic deliverance. We don't get magic deliverance. It's going to be how much we want to be delivered. Are we willing to get delivered? Will we face these things for what they are? Your will is vital to the deliverance. That's why it needs to be built up. That's why these sermons, these testimonies, the songs, the prayer time, it's really coming before God and saying, Lord, really build my will. Build faith. Build confidence. Build this in me. Build a willingness so I'm finally even willing to look at some of these things. And then willing to see what it really is. There's times when You come to a closet door, and you don't want to open it. You don't know what's on the other side. Well, that's kind of the way it is in our lives. We've got a lot of these closet doors. And there's a lot of things behind these closet doors in ourselves we would not really want to look at. And we don't want to deal with. We just kind of like to ignore it. But there's a force on the other side, and he has to be reckoned with. And we've got to come to strength in God, and we say, okay, I'm going to open that door. I don't care what's on the other side. Ah, now I know who this really is. And then we allow faith and even further strengthening of our will to take place as people are ministering to us. And people are loving us. People are undergirding us. They're helping us. And then as we start to stand against this, we got an unwanted person in our house. And we don't want him in our house. He's doing destructive things to us, to our wife, to our children, to our ministry, to our neighbors. It's not good to have this guy in our house. And we finally know that we can boot him out. And so we look him right in the face and say, you get out of my life in the name of Jesus, and give him a kick right in the seat of the pants and close the door behind him. And just keep that door closed to him. Don't keep checking to see if he's gone. He's gone. Don't give him any access. But we've got to deal with these things just like that. In that basic framework. We've allowed these things in, we must boot them out. We've got to get rid of them by using the power and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we have to use. The necessary heart's cry is just, Lord, search me. Lord, just search me. See, this is real. This is real. This is real. This thing is really a work of God. This is not make-believe. I've heard of one person came and watched for a little bit and got an icky feeling, and then he says it's not of God. Now, I hope that's not an accurate story, but that's what's come to my ears. That caused my heart to just break for that soul. Who said to judge things by icky feelings? Well, where is that in the book? That sounds like a new doctrine to me, somewhere in the book of Hezekiah. It doesn't sound like it's God's book. We don't judge things by icky feelings. We judge things by the word, and we judge things by the pastor and the elders that have been put over us. That's how we have to judge a lot of things, following their judgment. See, look at our pastor's life. Look at his heart. Look at the fruits in his life. Look at the dedication. He's not going to be somebody who embraces fads. He doesn't embrace fads. He doesn't let every Tom, Dick, and Harry come in here and talk and share things. He doesn't do that. He's got to know that it's of God before he's going to have anything to do with it. He wouldn't let just something come in here. And if he let it come in and he found out he was wrong because it wasn't bearing good fruit, he'd close the door to it. But listen to these testimonies. These testimonies are, and we're not even hearing one-tenth of the testimonies. And they're not even able to share all the things that really happened. It's impossible to even begin to put it into words. Once these things are finally gone, you start to be able to shout real victory shouts and feel the joy of the Lord and have life start to flood your soul all over again. Can't even hardly put it into words. But you see, some of you, what you need to do is you need to go and talk to each person. Say, now give me a list of those that have been delivered. Okay, well, give me a real good list. And you go to each one of those persons and you ask them every question you want. And you're going to find out that God has done a totally miraculous, supernatural, dramatic, fantastic, wonderful, glorious work in their lives, and it cannot be contested. You can reject it, but it cannot be labeled as unauthentic. It is authentic. It's a work of God. See, it's like the people that they don't come to the elders and to the members of Community Chapel to find out about Community Chapel. They go to somebody who's backslidden out of Community Chapel, or somebody that's fighting Community Chapel. Well, some of you are following the same procedure concerning this move of God. You've got to go to the people that know, the people that are experiencing these things, and check it out with them. And if you don't do that, you're not following the proper procedure. You're not really... Maybe there's an unwillingness. Maybe there's a demonic spirit of unwillingness. Maybe there's a demonic spirit of deception. But But if you don't go through and really give it a proper evaluation, some of you are the people that would say to a Jehovah's Witness, well, you've got to be fair with these scriptures. But some of you are not being fair with these testimonies. Some of you are not really being fair with what is being said and what is being preached and the explanations given. And I don't know how many of there are involved in this category. But even though there's only a handful of you here tonight, if somehow this can get through to your heart, it's well worth it. We don't want you to be leaving this place. We want you free. We want you delivered. We want you to be able to go on in God. Don't lose out. Trust your shepherd. Trust the church government. Realize another interesting thing is that these deliverances are also beginning to occur with Dan O'Brien's church. And Nikki Lembo, he was just, I don't know whether it was at a prayer meeting or whatever, but all of a sudden some lady in his church starts having these demonic manifestations. He didn't even know what it is. He has to start dealing with it. Guess who he calls next? He says, Don, what's going on? This lady got delivered, but he'd never seen anything like it. Just out of the clear blue. This shows God's working. God's exposing the enemy. That's what it shows. God's doing it. I told one of my classes today, this is not a work of man. I love Keith, but this is not a work of Keith Gunn. This is not a work of our pastor. It's not a work of the eldership. This is a work of God. This is really a work of God. God is coming down to set his people free because he's got to have people that can finally take and use the power of God without having a demon spirit of pride push him off the bluff. See, how can you say, I dealt with pride. I got it all taken care of, but there's still a demon spirit in there. And then God gives you the power. The power of God comes, you got a demon spirit of pride. What's that demon spirit going to do with that power? It's going to cause you to run out ahead of the move of God, go into fanaticism, jump off every bluff, end up shipwrecked and destroyed. That's what's going to happen. That's why God has to come down and show us the enemy for who he really is and for what he's really done. This has got to happen or the move of God cannot continue. This has got to take place. And that's why we've all got to get free. We've got to all face this thing and say, Lord, now what's really going on here? Where do I fit in? What do you want to do in me? Where do I need my deliverances? And really face it. Just face it. Just say, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the faith. Give me the will. Give me the determination. Seek God, and he'll meet you. He'll give you the strength. He'll see you through in this. It's a very, very important thing. Look carefully at your life. How are you really doing in prayer? Some people that decide to judge these things are praying about 1 minute a week. Now, how can anybody be in a place to really judge a move of God by praying an amount of time you can't even measure with a stopwatch? See, that's a little bit hyperbolic, but nevertheless. See, we have got to, now are we in a place to judge what's going on? How's your prayer life? How much are you reading the Bible? How much are you witnessing? See, we need to look at these areas. And if we have a real desire to be witnessing and ministering for God, and at every time we start to step out, something chokes us, something stifles us, something robs us, that is not us. That's not God. That's not the saints. That is a demonic spirit. And I guarantee it's not just one. It's many, all working with a certain cooperation. We must wake up and hear God's call to deliverance. This is a call to deliverance. This is the watchman calling to those that have started to fall asleep. And we've got to shake sleep in this hour. We've got to hear God speaking to his church. We must really open up. The battle is on. The battle is on. And in every battle, unfortunately, there's some tragic casualties. There are some corpses. We don't need to have any corpses at Community Chapel. The only people we need dead are people dead to self, going on in the power and the victory of God. Now, how do we keep our deliverance once we get delivered? I don't have a 1-2-3 order. I just have a number of things that I felt in my heart, and I just poured it out on a piece of paper, and now I'm going to pour it out to you. Number one, begin to really recognize the doorways that were used by these demonic forces. Really open up to get understanding from God. You want to keep your deliverance? You're going to have to understand some things of how the devil worked. You're going to have to understand some things about his strategies so that when he starts to use that strategy again, you get out your sledgehammer of faith and smash him right over the head. You say, no deal. You're not coming in. You used that same strategy before, and now I know that it's you and you're not getting in. That's why we need to see to a degree how these things have happened and where they came from. We've got to see a certain amount of the situations that they were able to convince us out of our own will to accept them. We've got to see this to some degree. We may not have to, I don't think we're ever going to see everything involved, but the more we can understand about this, taking it properly with the illumination of God and the power of God behind it, it's going to help us. Now, I'm not talking about eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to maintain your deliverance, but we need to know things. We need to understand things. And the more things that God can give us as far as really understanding the strategies of the enemy and then knowing how to deal with those by faith, by the Word of God, it's going to keep us free. It's going to keep us free. It's going to keep us shouting the victory. See, we've had times of deliverance in our lives where we made deep dedications, and they went on for a few weeks. God does not want this to go on for a few weeks. He wants your deliverance to go on to the rapture. And then He wants it to take on its full dimensions when you're finally there joining Him. That's what He wants. That doesn't mean there's not going to be any more valleys, no more winter times. There's going to be tests. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be some real trials. There are going to be some problems. But you're going to go through it in the power of God. And as those enemies try to come back in through those tests, every door is going to be closed. Say, no, you can't come in there. I'm not letting you in. I'm not going to let you do that. You can't fool me. Now, I don't know the details, and I won't give the person's name, but in one case, when somebody was ministered to, just to show you how clever, and I'm not saying this is the exact strategy that the enemy used, but here was a person in a very difficult situation where it would be so normal to have fear. That's what the enemy works in. He takes these situations, these circumstances, and he says, don't you know that you need fear? Don't you know that you have a right to have anger right now? Don't you know that you should have this thing right now? And because we don't understand the circumstances and how the enemy's working, we of our own will say, yes, I should have fear. Yes, I should have anger. And after we've done this a number of times, guess who actually has come in? Demons of fear, demons of anger, demons of hate. That's what's happened. So we need to see as much as possible how they've come in so we can be fortified in those areas. I have had a situation where because of this one thing happening, then I would do this. I finally said, I don't care if this happens. I'm not going to do this by the power of God. I finally saw the strategy. I finally saw how the devil was using this to get me tricked here. I said, no deal. I'm not going to have that in my life. And there's been victory ever since. God did that. But I don't think I would have been able to come to that point in God if I hadn't have been able to start to see that connection. Now, that doesn't mean in every case you need to see all the connection before you can get deliverance. But He does want to show you things so you can keep delivered, so you can understand the workings of the enemy. And that doesn't mean that we end up with all sorts of hundreds of details and can tell you all the intricacies and the inner workings and all of that of demons. We're not going to be able to do that. But we've got to know some of their major strategies. A major strategy, the lying emotions. Some of you are going to get delivered, and that feeling is going to come back to you. The very feeling that has gripped you for years is going to come back. It's a lie. It's not in you. It's just trying to get back in you to trick you. See, that feeling comes to trick you. He gets it back in your mind. God allows it as a test. We've got to stand against that and say, no, that feeling is a lie. I am delivered. Jesus set me free. I've been able to live for these past number of weeks with real liberty. This thing's a lie, and stand against it. We've got to do this. The rationale that I have a right to be heard, angry, or afraid, we have no right as saints of God to embrace fallen spirits. So we say, well, I have a right to embrace that. No, we don't have a right to embrace those demonic spirits. So I don't care what situation comes up. I don't care who pulls in front of you. You have no right to get angry. And when that spirit wants to come back and anger comes, no deal. You just sit there and say, praise the wonderful name of Jesus, you lying spirit, you're not coming in my life. You have to go bananas, pull your hair out, honk your horn, screech the brakes, yell out the window. You don't have to do anything like that. I was in a situation where I started to see, it was just like, and it was, I don't know if it was a spirit in me or not, but it was like, I'd be in a certain situation, it was like something was just there that would cause me to act a certain way, and as I was praying, it was like, I just had a picture in my mind, no real picture, but of seeing the kind of look that was on my face, and it was a thing of impatience. And it was like, I could just see this whole thing transpire, and I said, no, I don't want that in my life. I don't want that in my life. I'm not going to have that in my life. So I just keep standing against it. And that's what we need to do. I don't know if I'm totally delivered of it, but I'm going to keep standing against it. Because I am going to keep walking with God. God has built that in me, and He wants to build that in each and every one of you. And He wants that desperately. We need to put a double guard on our heart and on our mind. Guard everything that comes in. Guard everything that comes into the mind. We need the Lord to be there guarding us. We cannot keep reading the same magazines, watching the same TV, being involved in the same activities, but these things are going to come back. We just can't do that. This shows, in order to maintain the deliverance, that there must be a real, true dependence and submission to God, a true dependence to His Word, a true dependence upon our Shepherd, a true dependence upon the church government, and a true dependence upon the calling of God that He has for our individual lives. There must be a dependence in every one of those areas. We must have that dependence. We must remain clean of these things. We go out in this world, we get all covered with dust all over our feet. We've got to go and let Jesus wash our feet. My wife and I were out this afternoon, out in Babylon, doing a few things, driving around, and it's just like every window, every billboard, every person, every word, every attitude, the music played, everything, it was just like dust all over. I felt like when we got home that I was covered with dust. Not just my feet, but it felt like from head to foot. It just the world out there and those demonic forces working. So I just came home and I just made decisions in my heart. I took time to finish preparing my sermon. I got into the Word. I'm standing against those things. That filth is not coming into my life. I'm going to walk free. But it has to be dealt with like that. Every time that the priest would minister in the tabernacle, he had to go to the laver first. He had to go and wash his hands and his feet before he could minister. He couldn't offer sacrifice. He couldn't go into the tabernacle. He had to wash first. He had to keep clean. That's exactly what we must do. We must make deep commitments through this, and we must keep those commitments and keep those vows. The Word of God talks about paying our vows. We've got to pay these vows. We say, Lord, I'm going to go with You, and there's going to be a test, but let's go with Him. Don't let these things rob us anymore. Do not neglect paying these vows. Do not neglect them. Do everything to pay them. Do everything that you know to do to pay them. Get in every Bible study you can get in. Do every Bible study you can do. Spend as much time in prayer. Come to every church service. Keep in good fellowship. Don't let yourself suddenly get delivered and then you end up spending all sorts of time just on the job and then after a couple weeks, you haven't even been able to get to church. Don't let that happen to you. Now, one thing, going out on vacation for a few weeks to rest your body and get some relaxation for the family, but to suddenly be out of church just because of work and maybe some things that you don't have to be doing, that can be a dangerous thing, especially right after getting delivered, because the enemy knows that the best time to counterattack is as soon as possible after he lost his objective. Any army knows that. We must keep wearing the armor of God. We must wear it every day. We must make sure that helmet is on, the breastplate is on, the loins are girded about with truth. We need to make sure that all of these items are on and we're using them and we understand how to keep on the offensive. Russ McKenzie shared a testimony in chapel that he was prayed for and he had no real manifestation, but he felt, I don't know if he really felt something going. I think he said he knew something went. And he just kept standing against that, and he just felt or knew that thing was just, it was going, and it was out of his life, and he said, you keep going, and it was like it just kept going. You keep going, and it kept going. You keep going, and it kept going. You keep going. He just wanted that thing as far away from his life as possible. Well, that's the way we have to be. That's the attitude that must be built in us if we're going to live out these deliverances. Make a complete sellout to Jesus Christ. Sell out to Him. Give Him your time. Give Him your wallet. Give Him your talents, give Him your family, give Him your ministry, give Him everything, and you'll stay free. There's no way that you'll lose your deliverance if you make a complete sellout to God. That'll ensure that your deliverance will never be taken from you, and what it will ensure as well is that deliverance will get fuller, more complete, more glorious, more blessed. It doesn't mean that you're going to live at 24 hours a day at a high emotional state. It doesn't mean that at all. but you're going to be walking in the victory, and you're going to know you're in the victory, and you're going to find new power with God. You're going to find new conviction, new authority, new dedication. You're going to find souls being won. You're going to find when you pray for people, you get results. You're going to find people are going to start tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "Brother, can you go over here and witness this person? Can you go over and counsel this person?" Because suddenly you're going to start soaring up in God. That's what's going to happen. It's a marvelous thing. God's trying to do a deep, wonderful thing, not just to get us free, but to be able to use us to rescue other souls. Don't come to the defense of demon spirits anymore. We come to their defense. That's my Irish. That's what happened back here. I have a right to be here. It's like we have become the advocate of demon spirits. We have become the defense attorney of demon spirits. Let's start being the prosecuting attorney against these foul things. They're foul, twisted, messed up things, and they hate us. And they're lying to minds right now, and that's because they hate you. And they want to keep a hold on you to destroy you. It's really the truth. I know it's making some of you nervous. That's those spirits being exposed. Some of you are going through a lot of emotional turmoil. Don't run out the door. That's where to get bolded. Remember down here at this altar. Really, that's the truth. It's really the truth. It's really the whole heart of God to get you free. He's got to get these things exposed. And in some of your cases, these manifestations have to come just to show you that it's really not you. And if they don't come, in some cases, the person just, "Well, I don't even know what I'm battling." Now, it's not needed in every case, but some people, they address it. They say, "Okay, I address that, but I really think it's me." And then as people are praying and keep putting truth in there, and that demon knows it's exposed, and it starts to react, now that person knows. And now that starts to really identify this enemy, and we can really start to do some battling against him. So in some cases, that's one of the reasons, not the whole explanation, but at least one reason. Each saint must also really begin to keep waiting on God. You wait upon God to get delivered, you've got to wait upon God to keep your deliverance. We must appropriate God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. We must fall in love with Jesus. We've got to fall in love with Him. If we fall in love, we're not going to lose our deliverances. We're going to just start to find what God always intended this abundant life to be. Some of you need to be real careful. I don't have anybody really in mind, but some of you, I know you're involved in dating relationships and you got a lot of things you're really concerned with. Let me tell you, right now, there is nothing more important than making sure you get free. I don't care how close you are to marriage. Your marriage will be a disaster if you don't get free. You've got to get free. Now, I'm not telling anybody to postpone their marriages until they know they're absolutely free. But I'm just saying, make sure that you're spending the right time really waiting on God. You're not allowing things to distract you. I know it's hard for some of you. You're dating, you've got Bible college and all of that, and you want to be waiting upon God more. Just you wait as much as you can, and God will do the work. But if you're not waiting as much as you really can and really dealing with these things honestly, then you could be down here maybe 78 straight hours and still not get anywhere. It's the real honesty of the heart. It's the real longing to be delivered and to really become what Jesus wants us to be. And God knows how to work in all of that. Don't let anyone or anything keep you from walking free and doing right. Don't let anyone or anything. Seek God for Him to build you up so that you have a deeper love for Him and a deeper love for good and a deeper hate for evil. We need to have a real hate for evil. And most of the time that we've had a hate for evil, we've hated ourselves. Totally misdirected. Totally misdirected. We couldn't have missed it any further. Ending up hating ourselves instead of hating those foul demon spirits that have robbed us. We must live in the shed blood of Christ. We must live in that shed blood. And as Don has said, be. In other words, no longer I, but Christ. Be Christ. Be Christ. In each situation, let Christ come through. Be what He would be in that. This is walking and living out your deliverance. Now, if you find areas where you're unable to be Christ, then that shows a further area and a further need for deliverance. Basically speaking, now in some cases, you may be trying to be something you can't be because you lack maturity, so you may need some counsel, you may need some direction. But if you know you're at a certain level in God, and you should be able to do that with God's power, based on where you are in God, but there's still something there robbing you, then start to address it for what it is. It is a demonic thing that's trying to rob you. Now, my whole heart is this. Don't be robbed. Open up to God. Really open up to God. Just open up. Now, see, if this is not of God, then this whole church is bankrupt. I mean, we've really gone off the deep end if this isn't God. I mean, we have gone wacko. We have really lost our marbles. But look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Listen to the testimonies. It's God. It's not the devil. It's not Jim Jones. It's not Reverend Moon. This is God. The fruit proves it. Follow the pastor. Follow the pastor. Heed God's voice. God's speaking to your hearts. He's speaking to your hearts. Come and wait on God. Allow Him to prove Himself in your heart in this hour. Allow Him to do that. Seek Him actively. If you have a problem with unbelief, look that thing right in the face and begin to say, now, where is this thing coming from? Why do I feel this way? Come down and find a person with a tag or find an elder and say, now, brother, I've got this unbelief. What do you think about it? What do you feel? What should I be doing? Come down and get help. Ask your questions. Many people, they really don't know what to do, and they're afraid to ask certain people the questions. You've got to come and ask us the questions. We can't seek out all of you. We want to help you. But if you won't come to us so that we can help you, in some cases, that just ties our hands. And we're not able to do very much. God said through the pastor's wife that if we do not get delivered, then these forces would end up consuming us. That's what God said to the pastor's wife. And it was very powerful. There's no question that it was right from God. Don't let feelings, your own mind, your own two eyes fool you. Don't let anything fool you. Pour out your heart. God will prove Himself. Many have claimed that Don is their pastor. Many have claimed that. The vast majority, right here, you've claimed that Don is your pastor. But that claim is now being tested. In some of your lives right now, let me tell you what's happening. That claim is being tested. And what can be shaken is being shaken. And if you let unbelief rob you of that claim and that dedication, see, there was a time where you were up in the Spirit and you knew the community chapel was your home. You knew that Don was your pastor. You knew these elders were your elders. You knew that this was a church where you could remain safe and you could grow in God. But it's being tested. Some of you are being tested right now. See, that test is by design. God's allowing it, but the one who's putting that pressure, that's those demonic spirits. And we're going to find out who will really stay one heart with this move of God. We don't want to lose anybody. We don't want to lose any one of you. I want to make sure that all of you make it. I want to make sure that all of you are free. But some of you, you're not doing the right things. Your excuses are invalid. Your excuses don't count. They don't weigh anything. Those excuses may put you in jeopardy of losing your soul. Now, I think that's a serious matter. We've got to enter into this move of God. And once we enter in, we're going to start finding that this is God. There's times that you stand on the outside, God's not really able to prove much to you. We've got to jump out of the boat and see if the water will really hold us up. We've got to find out. We're going to have to really seek God actively. My heart is just filled with love and compassion for every single one of you. I love you dearly. I want you to really make it with God. I want you to get delivered. I want you to keep your deliverance. If God's called you to this church, I don't want you to go to another church. God doesn't want you to go to another church. We don't care about numbers. We just want the people that God has called here to be here. And if that ends up being, so to speak, significant numbers, that's totally beside the point to us. We don't. Our concern for you is not to put you up on the ledger here so that we have a certain number of people as our so-called membership. Our concern for you is your soul. And we want you to have everything that this word promises. There's all these provisions through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's that place in the Holy of Holies, and something's keeping us out of that place. And all this time we blamed ourselves and blamed others. It's not ourselves, and it's not others. One last thing. Your heart, through the new birth, through being baptized in the Holy Spirit, through the truths that you have received thus far in your walk with God, your heart is clearly for God. You want God desperately. When you find all these other things, and after a while you begin to believe that you don't really want God, that's not you at all. I guarantee it. I know that is the truth. What I'm telling you is the truth. It may be hard for some of you to accept that, but maybe that's one of the first things you're going to have to accept. You can't follow just your heart in this matter. As far as what you understand or what you have heard somewhere else or maybe what you're thinking, but the heart that you have to follow is that one that's been produced through the new birth, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, through the truths that you've received. And you know this is the place that God called you. If you know that, just enter into this. Just enter into it and let God really do the deep, significant works that He wants to do in your lives. This is such an important time in each one of our lives. Let Jesus really have His way.